the place for the realest conversations.
I appreciate United Garden Homes for stopping through with a check for $2,000.
Yes.
Some people came through anonymously.
Yes.
Dropped off money. The family has received those funds. And whatever you can do, if everybody do a little, nobody has to do a lot.
The movement continues.
Did you ever think that you would be in this position right now where your daughter would have some way lose her life?
I didn't want to believe it. All the times I called, sometimes the phone would ring and ring and ring for days. I didn't want to know that she had successfully committed suicide.
What are some of the conditions in the jail that got people upset, like the living conditions on a day-to-day basis?
We'll come out of our cell at 11 o'clock in the morning. We'll get food and we'll get medication. So that shortens the time. Out of those 2 hours, we'll probably get an hour out and then we'll have to lock back down. And by lock back down, I mean we stay in our cell, we get fed in our cell. We don't come out our cell at all. And that's pretty much the biggest problem. And they simply say that they're short staffed, but that's not enough because they knew that they were going to be short staffed. Like, this has been a problem for over 2 years now.
The marathon continues.
There's never been a better time to make change in the city of Milwaukee, starting with the youth. And we talked about the housing. Willie Hines, y'all boy Willie Hines, and they trying to change the leadership over there. We got our hands full, and it's not the time. But we got attorney B. Ivy Lamar on the lines right now, calling from the courthouse. How you doing, attorney B. Ivy Lamar?
Hey, what's going on, Tori? I'm good, man. Happy to be here.
Joining me on the line, Dr. Umar Johnson. How you doing, brother, Dr. Umar Johnson?
Peace and Pan-Africanism. Good brother, Black Power, to all my brothers and sisters in Milwaukee, Kenosha, Green Bay, Racine, and across the state of Wisconsin.
Yo, peace, King. I'm going to stand with you and walk with you, brother.
God bless you.
Because I think it's an important thing, what you're doing, and you need to have the support of the community. Regardless if we live in these areas or not, it all affects us in one way or shape or form.
It's time for that action and all the smoke. This is the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association award-winning Tori Lowe Show on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and streaming live on YouTube.
Yam, yam, pam, 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 bam, jam, jam.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, wow.
Man, best show in the world, bro. You got the best show in the world. Hope you know that, man.
God bless you, brother. I appreciate that.
Big up, big up, big up to you both. Thank you so, so, so much. Tori, you spoke to my kids. Liz, you did too. But you spoke to my kids, and when I tell you both that they was talking about what we did earlier that morning all day, that's literally what they was doing. They was talking about it all day.
My son
was just hollering, we're Tori.
Tell Tony, all aboard, it's okay to jump on the love train.
I'm not jumping on the love train.
We might got a couple seats left.
Listen, he ain't going to be, Jordan Love will not be the starter in 5 years.
Trash. That's a trash.
That's just my
take. See, now you're trying to string it out.
I know that ain't who I think it is.
Well, I'll need some apologies from the staff of 101.7.
Oh, wow. Wait a minute. I think the line's messing up. Hey, Eddie. Oh, I guess something happened with
Eddie. Boy.
And they have an agenda. And the agenda is a satanic one. I don't know why people don't talk about it. You can't talk.
Yo!
They just zapped
you. I want to make sure that I let you know that to hear a person and have a person like you in this community, the way that you are selfless, the way that you give, even when your cup is not even full, you are filling other people's cups. And that just inspires me to want to make sure that I help you the best way that I can by doing my part.
As always, my good brother, they cool, they calm.
Now, live from American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is the king of talk radio, Tori Lowe.
White people are gonna cry.
Justice Wisconsin, the truth, the most requested advocate in the state. 101.7 FM, the movement continues. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Milwaukee, stand up. It's Tori Lowe, the truth, from one to four. We about that action, so tap in and let's go. We want that justice, we want all the smoke. From Monday through Friday, trying to bring the city hope. Yeah, Tori Lowe, from one to four, Monday through Friday, let's go. We about that action from the block, and we ready, let's go. Tap in, and it ain't no holding back. We ready, we ready. 101.7 The Truth. Tori Lowe,
Tory Lowe Show live from American Family Insurance Studio at the Avenue. And I'm here for the action.
And none but that action.
And I want all the smoke.
Who wants to smoke today?
Salute to all my brothers and sisters on the front lines. The marathon continues.
The movement continues.
How you doing, DJ Brother Z?
It's Monday.
And how y'all doing out there in Radio Land? Truth Nation. Thank you for joining me this Monday, April 28th, 2025. We got another powerful show for you today. So I'm going to need y'all to open up your ears, okay? Now, we got Minister Kevin on the lines. We got to get right into the prayer, Truth Nation. How you doing, Minister Kevin? Miracle Minister Kevin.
Hey, Tori, I'm doing very well today. How you doing, my good brother?
Hey, blessings, blessings, blessings on blessings. I'm feeling powerful.
That's what you're supposed to feel. I'm trying to get a little of that power myself, so send them my way. I'm out here, I'm out there with the Jeep today, and, you know, I haven't really been doing much looking at it, but today I'm trying to get it started up. You know, not safe for me to drive. My wife ain't gonna let me drive it. But, you know, the Jeep is what I was victimized here. So, just trying to get it going. You know, have to put some air in the tire.
Okay.
Put some oil in it because it's been sitting up for, you know, a year and a half. Put some antifreeze in it. You know, and gotta get that window changed. You know, because we got the bullet hole in it.
So, okay.
And I'm thinking about that. That's the same thing we got. You know, I'm trying to revive it. Basically, trying to revive it. That's what we need. I think the prayer on that. Revive us again.
Well,
so I'm trying to revive the Jeep. Just like, you know, God has to revive us. He got to breathe the air to us. You know, that's for that tire. He got to put the oil in us to keep us operating smoothly. He got to put the antifreeze in so we don't get overheated, get too hot, deal with the situation. Well, and he got that bullet hole. He got to show us that protection, man, and cover us, take us away from being the victim to being the victor.
Hey, look, Minister Kevin, I'll tell you this. It's a lot going on, and I'll tell you this. We got to stay focused. We got to stay in line. And today we got breaking news. So, you know, a lot going on the show today. But I wanted to get in this Monday prayer before we go into, you know, the next segment. And once again, you know, I appreciate you for everything you have done in the community and leading us in prayer on Mondays. And y'all know how we get down, Truth Nation. Y'all know we got to come together on one accord every Monday. And I appreciate you, Miracle Minister Kevin, for coming on and giving us this Monday prayer.
Absolutely. Just prayer for you, my brother. Lord, today we pray for Tory Lowe and the calling that you placed on his life. We first ask that he continue to shield and protect him from all that may come up against him and oppose the work that he does. Guide his footsteps to lead him the direction you would have him to go. As problems arise, show him solutions that benefit your people. Enable him to find those that are missing, feed those that are hungry, house those that are homeless, and advocate for those who are without voice or resources. Fill him with boldness and wisdom as you continually enlarge his territory, whether on the radio or pounding the pavement. Let a difference be made and lives be changed for the better. I speak life more abundantly in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, look, when we come back, we'll get into the show, Truth Nation. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
And that's Tory Lowe, bringing you all the action and all the smoke. You are listening to the Tory Lowe Show on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Tory Lowe, Tory Lowe Show, DJ Brother Z on the ones and twos. Hey, look, Truth Nation, we got a guest. We got Senator Ron Johnson through VMix. So if you're watching as we broadcast live on YouTube, you'll see U.S. Senator Ron Johnson in our live chat. How you doing, Senator?
Well, Tory, I'm doing well. I hope you are, too.
Hey, look, it's a lot to cover. I don't know how much time you got, but I got a couple questions I need to talk about. It's a lot of things going on in the state of Wisconsin. I'll start with this judge, this situation with the judge. There's talk about what took place. They're saying that the situation had to do with her aiding somebody that may have been looking for through maybe the feds may have been looking for somebody, federal government been looking for somebody, and she was arrested, Hannah Dogan, alleging that she obstructed a detention of an undocumented migrant. What do you know about this situation?
Only what I've read, and I've read a fair amount. What I do know that under the Biden administration, we allowed probably somewhere around 10 million people into this country completely unvetted. And now President Trump ran a campaign. One of his primary promises was to secure the border, which he's by and large done, and start deporting, particularly the criminals. And he's doing that. But what's happening now is his efforts are being frustrated by people like the judge, other individuals. Again, there's no way you can let 10 million plus people coming here completely vetted and then expect to be able to give full due process rights to people who are in this country illegally. They're not U.S. citizens, but at a minimum, when you are an officer of the court, and that's what a judge is, and there are lawful arrest warrants or whatever those federal agents had, you need to honor those things. I know the chief judge of that court was apparently writing up rules for, you know, how to handle that. By the way, one of the reasons that ICE tries to apprehend people when they're already in a safe setting is for public safety, for the safety of the officers themselves. I mean, if you have to go and conduct a search warrant or an arrest at somebody's location, that's very dangerous for everybody. We've seen that time and time again. So the safest place to apprehend somebody who might be dangerous would be when they had a court proceeding, probably on some other criminal charge or something. That's a very safe place to do it. The courts ought to cooperate with federal law enforcement. In this case, this judge did not. Instead, she obstructed justice, and she'll pay the price. I mean, again, an officer of the court has, from my standpoint, an even higher duty to uphold the law and not to obstruct justice.
Do you think that her actions will send a message to what they're calling activist judges across the country that may feel like they can, not adhere to some of the administration, the Trump administration ideas on when it comes to illegal immigration?
Well, anytime we arrest somebody, charge them with a crime, convict them, one of the reasons we do that is to deter other people from committing the same crime. Now, unfortunately, as you listen to other, and there's a judge up in Northwest Wisconsin says she's going to shut down the courts, because of the situation.
Right.
Unfortunately, on the left side of the political spectrum, and we have most members of the media also on the left side, these people are actually emboldened by this. They shouldn't be. I mean, anybody who's now an officer of the court ought to, take away from this that they need to follow the law. They need to cooperate with ICE when they're carrying out lawful arrest warrants and that type of thing. So it should be a warning. It should hopefully produce more adherence to the law, compliance with the law. But, right now, radical leftists, they are in full mode, Trump derangement syndrome and protest mode. And I'm not sure it's going to have the kind of effect it really should have, which is to deter obstruction.
What do you have to say to the people that feel like the judge was targeted and she shouldn't be arrested? What do you have to say to those that feel that she probably acted within the scope of what she could do as a judge?
Again, it wasn't a case before her. She's an officer of the court. She needs to respect, legal arrest warrants and legal proceedings. And she didn't do that. And in doing so, she endangered public safety. Again, I'll reiterate, the reason it's a good idea to go and arrest somebody who has a valid arrest warrant inside a court, inside a safe space, is for the safety of that individual together with anybody else around that individual. I mean, trying to execute a search warrant or an arrest warrant at somebody's location where they may be holed up with guns and, you know, other armaments, it's a very dangerous situation for the law enforcement officials as well as everybody in that house, okay? Mm. We've seen it time and time and time again. So again, when you have a legal arrest warrant, you know, do it, you know, execute that search warrant or that arrest warrant in as safe a situation as possible. Inside a courthouse is a pretty safe spot because there are metal detectors and people aren't armed and there are other law enforcement officials there to make sure that things don't get out of hand.
All right. Well, had to ask you about it. It's what's going on right here in the city of Milwaukee. Everybody talking about it. Thank you for answering the question. Also, Trump's first 100 days in office. How do you rate his performance, in particularly to in relation to his campaign promises?
Well, I think more than any president in my lifetime, Donald Trump in his first term and his second time are honoring those promises. Whether I necessarily agree with all of them or not, he's doing exactly what he said he was going to do. Now, in most situations, I couldn't be happier that he's acting boldly, swiftly, and decisively to secure the border, to begin deporting criminals that are a clear and present danger to this nation. The fact that he's doing everything he can to end the wars in the Middle East, in Ukraine, the fact that he is starting to stamp out all the wokeism, protect our girls from biological males in their sports, in their locker rooms, in their bathrooms. So again, across the board, there's so many things that I completely agree with President Trump. I'm concerned about his tariffs. Every time he would say that was the most beautiful word in the English language, I would wince. Knowing that, you know, tariffs are a tax. I mean, they're a tax on consumer goods. I completely agree with President Trump that we have allowed, by being generous in our markets, we've allowed key, crucial, national security types of manufactured products to not be produced in this country anymore. And that's a real national security interest issue. And so that's something that absolutely needs to be addressed. But, you know, the global trade war right now obviously is disrupting the markets, disrupting supply chains. So we've got a lot of manufacturers. We've got farmers that can be retaliated against in these global trade wars. So I appreciate the fact that there's a 90-day pause on this. The sooner we can bring certainty to our economy, stability. You know, I come from the private sector. You don't invest money when things are, you know, unstable.
Now
there's a high level of insecurity.
Now I have to ask you this
question. Or uncertainty. So, I mean, I'm looking for stabilized situations. The sooner the better.
Well, and I would have to ask you this question. How are these policies going to affect us right here in the state of Wisconsin, our economy, when it comes to job creation and trade?
We kind of have to see how it all plays out. Again, if he uses the tariffs the way he did in his first term to accomplish a good end, you know, open trade, lower tariffs to U.S. manufactured products around the world. If he uses them that way, it could come out really well. If it continues and we have, you know, across-the-board tariffs in place for a long time and we have trade wars that are highly disruptive to our supply chains, that won't go so well. I just, again, I'm not privy to his strategy. If you're, you know, he's trying to negotiate, I do get the fact that being unpredictable in negotiations can, you know, inure to your benefit. So right now, all I can really do is give him the benefit of the doubt that he's got a strategy here that, again, President
right.
Trump understands that one of the reasons he got elected is because of inflation. He doesn't want to spark inflation.
Well,
he realized that, it's, you know, James Carville was right. It's the economy, stupid. You know, he's going to do everything we can to have a vibrant economy. He wants to, you know, again, make America great again. So I understand those are his goals. I share those goals.
Well,
I'm a little nervous about the current
right.
Measures here he's taking.
I was going to ask you this. What's one good thing that you like so far within the 100 days of Trump administration? And what's one bad thing that you don't like when it comes to Trump and his administration?
Well, I think I laid out a bunch of the good things. I mean,
right.
He secured the border. You know, we are deporting some very dangerous people that President Biden let in. We've seen the horrific crimes, the rapes, the murders that occurred because of that. So he's mopping up that big mess, okay? And it's right. a big mess. It's going to take a lot of time to do it. I like the fact that he's stamping out wokeism in our military and through our in other institutions as well. So those are good things. Again, I'm just concerned, and I'm making him very well aware of his administration, the pain that's causing to Wisconsin businesses and Wisconsinites. So that right now is the only thing I can really do is just make sure he's well aware, his administration is well aware of the problems that are occurring because of the instability, uncertainty, and the tariff war.
And I'll ask you this question because I know you got a busy schedule. Congress is back after 2-week recess. What are the top priorities you hope to address in the coming weeks?
Spending, spending, spending. Reduce the size, scope, and cost of government. It's intrusion into our lives. Tori, I don't want to talk about too many numbers, but in 2019, before the pandemic, total federal government spending was $4.4 trillion. Let me put it a different way. $4,400 billion a year. That's what we're spending. Now we're spending $7,000 billion a year. We had the pandemic. We had this massive spending spree, and we never stopped. I use the analogy of a family. If a member of their audience tragically had an illness that they had to borrow $50,000 to pay for medical bills, if that family member got well, they wouldn't keep borrowing $50,000 and keep spending that level. That's insane. Nobody would do that. That's exactly what the federal government did. So the next 4 weeks is going to be crucial. I've been writing about this in the Wall Street Journal that we have to return to a reasonable pre-pandemic spending level the way American families would. Unfortunately, we got a lot of big spenders in Washington, D.C. in both parties. And, I'm hitting resistance, but I think you know me. I'm pretty tenacious, and I've got a pretty irrefutable case to make that we have to return to a reasonable pre-pandemic spending level. We can't maintain this level of deficit spending.
Now, before you get off the line, I got to ask you this one, too. What is this conversation about you want to hold hearings about what happened on 9/11? Because I'm seeing that making the rounds. What sure. is this? Are we trying to – I heard that they called you a conspiracy theorist when it comes to what happened in September. But why are you pushing for this? What is the purpose of this?
So all these conspiracy theories I was accused of all become true. Now, this all began when, as ranking member of the permanent subcommittee investigation, my chairman wanted to investigate the deal – it was trying to be struck between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf and the Public Investment Fund from Saudi Arabia. And part of that hearing, we were approached by 9/11 families who wanted the truth about 9/11. The FBI, our federal government has a lot of information they have not released. And so they were asking us to request, utilize our oversight authority to have the FBI come clean. What did you know about the bin Laden? So, we want to know. Our families, we had family members, loved ones die in 9/11. We want to know the truth. Well, that's now expanded in terms of Kurt Weldon coming out, representing firefighters. I mean, there are so many unanswered questions involving 9/11. The door was opened up in terms of my eyes being opened and my, inquisitiveness over here by basically those hearings we held on a bipartisan basis on PGA Golf and Saudi Arabia's deal making in terms of that. And it's just opened up again. These are legitimate questions that people who lost loved ones in 9/11, the firefighters, for example, if you've watched any of the documentaries on Building 7, you realize there are a lot of unanswered questions that have just pretty well been swept under the rug. People want to know these things. So again, I'm just asking the legitimate questions that 9/11 families and the firefighters want answered.
Well, is there anything that you want to talk about before you go? Because there's a lot that you got to cover. I know you got a busy schedule. Is there anything that you want the people listening to know, Senator?
Well, I've always said that we ought to have done a three-part reconciliation process. This is getting into budget wonkery. But the first thing we should have done is provided President Trump the funding he needed to secure the border. Secondly, we should have taken an automatic massive tax increase off the table. And the third step would have been what we're dealing with right now is the Great Big Beautiful Bill, which is going to be very complex, very difficult to pass. We could have already had two really good things for the American public and for the economy, but now we're embroiled in these discussions. And again, I'm making everybody aware that this isn't catching anybody by surprise. There's a bunch of us digging our heels and saying, We have to return to a reasonable pre-pandemic level of spending. If we don't do that, you know, this reconciliation, the big beautiful bill is not passing anytime soon, which is unfortunate because there's some really important things we need to do. Again, make sure we don't have a massive tax increase, provide funding to secure the border and for our nation's defense. It's not too late to do a three-step process, so I'll continue to push for that, you know, particularly if we hit a roadblock with the one big beautiful bill.
All right, well, I'll say this. I wouldn't want to be in your spot right now. It's a lot going on.
Well, it's not boring.
I see. Well, like I said, I appreciate you for stopping through, Senator Ron Johnson. And once again, thank you for just allowing us to get a few questions answered, especially on what was going on with the judge. I appreciate you for answering those questions. And thank you and continue to do the work that you're doing.
Well, stay well and God bless you and your audience. Take care.
All right. God bless you. All right, look, when we come back, we'll be joined by Marquette Hall of Famer Tony Smith. Truth Nation, stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
It's the Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How's everybody doing tonight? Yes. I'd like to welcome to the stage
Tony.
Thank you.
Entertainment, current events, and trending topics. You get it all on the Culture Report with the Marquette Hall of Famer Tony Smith on the Tory Lowe Show. Here is your host, Tory Lowe.
101.7 The Truth, Tory Lowe Show. Pop Culture Report brought to you by Marquette Hall of Famer Tony Smith. How you doing, Tony?
What up?
Hey, how you enjoying the sun out there?
Hey, I'm enjoying it. I know it's been rainy over there, so
man,
I'm loving the warm, dry weather.
Well, I think they say it was 70 degrees. It's supposed to be 70 today, I think.
Yeah, well, it's also the 26th of April. April's almost over.
Hey, I don't want to get into no match with you because I know you over there enjoying. yourself. But I do want to talk about how do you feel about the Packers and the draft that recently took place in Green Bay. How do you feel about the Packers?
Did you go down there?
Yes, I did.
I saw it was packed. I saw it was the pictures. Packed. I was watching it.
I think that they said that they, like over the total of 3 days, it was like 600,000 or so people down there.
Yeah, I saw it was thick down there. It looked good. Looked like Green Bay put on a good show for everybody.
Oh, put on a great show. I mean, I think people walked away like, wow, that was a great experience. I think that's what took place. But when we talk about the draft picks, we got Matthew Golden at number 23 of the first round from Texas. What do you feel about that?
Listen. When Mark Murphy's up there announcing the pick, I was mad a little bit. I was a little upset for Aaron Rodgers. Like you said, now you're going to pick a number one wide receiver in the first round? Now? Like you had Aaron Rodgers, you didn't pick one then? I was like, this is bad. This is a bad look. You're just trolling Aaron Rodgers right now. You know. And the other thing was, I was surprised. And I get it when you look at the receivers they had, but everybody I was talking to, people are texting me and asking me, like, man, I thought you guys had a bunch of young receivers that you guys liked.
I think a lot of people that number one pick at wide receiver kind of, I think it was a stab at Christian Watson.
Oh, yeah, he can't stay healthy.
I think it was a replace. Or an idea that they can kind of actually, if Christian Watson can't recover from his tear in his right ACL, that he may be not on the Packers or they may move in a different direction.
No, I 100% agree. He hasn't been able to stay healthy since he got here. It definitely was someone like to try to replace him. And I mean, then they picked another wide receiver later on, I believe in the third round.
Right.
It's just indication of what they feel about what they have. But again, all these guys are young. I mean, they picked up Mecole Hardman. He's not young. He's a veteran. But you got mostly young guys at the receiver position. So, you know, I'm not sure what – I know it's a high draft pick. I'm not sure what he's going to do. Like I said, I don't follow a lot of college football. So I don't know how really good this kid is and how quickly he can make an impact. But he is a rookie. He's going to be a rookie. How much can you depend on rookies, right?
Hey.
That's the real question.
Also, the elephant in the room of the whole NFL draft, Shedeur Sanders.
Yep.
I know, yeah. You know, that's a cultural thing. When we talk about Shedeur Sanders, I think people feel a certain type of way about the Sanders, you know, what Deion was able to do with college football down in Jackson. Then he came over to Colorado, and it seemed like the world was following that movement. But now Shedeur is entering into the NFL draft. So I think that he built up a lot of fans and a lot of people that kind of invested in his career along the way due to the movement that they had. But now on draft day, a lot of people was upset.
I mean, a lot of people were upset because, you know, some people had him maybe coming off the board before Cam Ward. I think not a lot of people did, but there were some people who were talking that, you know, they could have possibly taken him first. But there's a lot of talk about his dad maybe caused his fall in the draft by saying, you know, playing that Manning role. They always compare to the Eli Manning and Peyton Manning, their dad, right. Archie. Was trying to control there and told the Saints, don't draft Eli. He's not going to play for you. Or the Chargers, I'm sorry. So it's the same thing. So, you know, maybe seeing a little meddling, but now all of a sudden it didn't affect Eli's career, but it affected, apparently, it appears to have affected Shedeur Sanders' standing and draft status. So people are, you know, saying double standard there.
He
didn't interview well. There's a lot of theories out there.
Okay, go right ahead. Because I'm going to tell you this. A lot of people upset about that.
The NFL was talking about they've never had so much, you know, attention or watching of the second and third days of the draft as they had with Shedeur still hanging out there. So was it a ploy by the NFL to get some attention and some viewership for those second and third days of the draft, which usually no one's watching. They just watch the first round and then you just go look up what happened in the second and third days. So that's out there. I don't believe that one. I just think that once he starts falling, there's not a lot of teams looking for a franchise quarterback.
A lot of people think it's a collusion. It was colluded.
I think that, but
I mean,
I think
Stephen A. threw that out there.
What happens is if you're going to look for a bargain, right? So you see this guy who you think, you know, is big time, but he starts to fall, right? Well, if I don't need a franchise quarterback, first of all, I'm not drafting him anyway. It doesn't matter because he's the guy who's going to come in and he's going to want to get immediate playing time, even though he may not deserve it. A lot of guys you've seen have sat behind other established starters for a few years. We saw Jordan Love just do that. We know Aaron Rodgers did that famously. So there's guys who've come in and have sat. I don't think people saw him as doing that with all the fanfare and hype around him. What you don't want is you don't want him coming in and then your starter having a couple bad games and now the fan base is calling for Sanders.
Cleveland, they felt that Cleveland was going to take him. Cleveland eventually took him.
Right.
Oh, but what I'm saying is I believe that was a planned idea because it's no way you got somebody with that talent level and he's sitting that long. And I'll say this, the team that we felt that should have drafted him high drafted him low. So what I'm saying is I believe that there was something going on there and maybe to humble him because – they said that he was kind of, you know, like his dad, you know.
Right. But, Tori, if I'm Cleveland and, again, the teams know who's looking for a quarterback.
And they took a quarterback before they took him.
Well, no, I'm saying other teams know. Like, so the Cleveland Browns may have wanted Sanders the whole time. But if they know, if they look at the draft board and there's only three or four teams that are going to take quarterbacks and they're not taking quarterbacks right now – you can afford to wait. So Cleveland's like, okay, these teams aren't going to take him. He's not going to be chosen. I mean, there was only one, I think, one quarterback in the first round anyway.
Right, you know, but what I'm saying is
the number one pick.
But they took a quarterback in front of Shador, then came back and took Shador. So to me, all right, all I'm saying is this is my opinion, and I'll say this. This was they were trying to humble him because they felt that, once again, you got to realize these NIL athletes are coming in millionaires already.
Correct.
And they don't have to wait to get to the NFL to be rich. At least Shador, he came into the NFL draft a millionaire from college. I mean, with his own income. So maybe 100%. That swag, the way that he approached the game going into the combine was probably way different than somebody who had to play 4 years of college and then go into the pros because they needed – that was the big time. Now, if you can get your athlete in college right now, they can become a millionaire.
Yeah, but and I don't think it's about money. Again, like I said, for the Cleveland Browns,
I'm talking about
I think
the
it's
attitude.
An opportunity. Correct. Yeah, but I'm still thinking about it's an opportunity for Cleveland to wait, and then not have to pay as much. The further you go down the draft, the less you have to pay for one. So you get Shedeur Sanders at a bargain, right? That's first things first. Because they knew other teams weren't looking to draft quarterbacks. So there was no urgency for them to do it if other teams were going to pass on them.
And I hear what you're saying, but what I'm saying is why would they take another quarterback before Shador? Why would they?
It
would make sense. What you're saying would make sense if they had took him when they took the quarterback that they took previous before they picked him.
Yeah, I don't understand that pick. I thought that was – to be honest with you, when I saw it, I thought that was going to be part of a trade or something was going on. Like, it didn't make sense for them to pick two quarterbacks back-to-back like that or close. So I'm not sure what that was.
And Cleveland currently has four quarterbacks now on their roster now after the draft.
You know, Cleveland's in trouble. They're a franchise in big trouble. Right. So they're searching right now is the big thing with Cleveland. But either way, I think Shador is a guy who's going to have confidence. Anyway, now that we're all here, so now it's all evil.
Right.
Now, the Cleveland Browns are a struggling franchise. They're going to play who's going to perform the best. They don't care where they were drafted or how much money they're getting paid. I think that their whole Deshaun Watson thing blew up on them, so now they're looking to try to figure something out on that
and
roster.
That was a guaranteed contract.
Right, they got a great defense. That's a big guaranteed contract. It's like, man, that's going to hurt their franchise for a while. But, you know, they still have to figure out a way to move on. And I think, like I said, getting quarterbacks this late in the draft is going to allow them to not pay them very much. So if you can get something out of them suddenly for the next 3 or 4 years, not paying them much, you got an opportunity to try to rebound from that Deshaun Watson contract.
Well, look, when we come back, Tony Smith, we got to talk about the Bucks.
Yeah, yes,
we got to talk about the Bucks. Hey, look, when we come back, Truth Nation, we'll have more conversations. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe. One-on-one, 7-0 Truth, Tory Lowe Show. DJ Brothers on the ones and twos. Pop Culture Report brought to you by Marquette Hall of Famer Tony Smith. Tony Smith, the Bucks look like they're in a little bit of trouble right now.
Bucks in six, right?
Hey, that's what they were saying. Hey, but, you know, they had a nice lead going in, you know, well, I guess when they won yesterday, not yesterday, but the day before yesterday, a lot of people felt like, okay, they may have some momentum here. But here we go. The Bucks is down, you know, 3-1. Do they got the magic? And I'm hearing that there are injuries going on with Dame. What's going on?
There ain't no magic down 3-1, Tory. Unfortunately, that's pretty much a death sentence. You're not going to see – look in NBA history, many teams coming back from a 3-1 deficit in a series. So I doubt they have lightning in a bottle, especially the fact that Dame Lillard injured his Achilles
right.
So he's definitely going to be out. There ain't no coming back from that. We know that, not anytime soon, at least. And next year is really in jeopardy as well for Lillard. That's pretty much almost right. a year long recovery from that, or close to it. Wow. So
do you break this team up?
You're looking at December at best. I mean, I think they're really at the beginnings of this really whole push with, especially with Lillard and Dame and Lillard and Giannis together. I mean, you're right at the beginning of it. Has it really even had a chance before you talk about breaking it up?
But what I'm saying is, I'm hearing that Giannis is, you know, he's valuable, and yeah, you would hate to think that, you know, we would lose a player like Giannis, but are we being delusional at this point?
If anybody thinks that a guy like Giannis won't leave, you're being delusional, yes. But he has been one of the most loyal NBA superstars that we've seen.
In recent times, yes.
Right, in recent times, and letting, you know, the franchise try to figure something out. So, you know, it's really going to be it's going to be a tough situation, I think, for Milwaukee to try to hang on to Giannis. Again, given Lillard is going to be down probably most of next season, I can't see it's already the end of April, and you're talking about, you know, 9 months is December,
right?
Which you're almost halfway through the season. Season's 2 months old already. Now that would be 9 months, and he might not even be back in 10 months, 11 months. So
I think
by the time
Dame
he gets back on the court, it could be already, you know, March. So that's going to be a tough sell for him to all of a sudden be off a year and then be ready for the playoffs next season. I find it hard to believe. They're going to have to do something extraordinary in the offseason as far as getting this roster to a place where it needs to be. I mean, some of these teams that they're competing against, Indiana, they're very young. They got a lot of young players, a lot of very good young players, not just guys like you see on the Bucks, right? They got some decent players. They're young. But these kids on Indiana, they're very, very good.
Well, so, I'll say this, looking toward the future, because I guess a lot of people are saying, looking at this as a lot of these talking heads are saying that if Giannis goes, the Bucks can get, if they get him before his contract run out, they can get 4 or 5 draft picks. They can kind of rebuild from there. But I don't know if the combination of Dame and Giannis have worked out as we thought it would or as we expected it would.
Well, again, I don't think you had time. Again, you're going to put two guys together like that and expect instant chemistry. I think you're kidding yourself a little bit.
Right.
I mean, there's always a chance that it could work, but I think to expect that would be a mistake. But you also have to put those two together and then try to fill the roster out as far as needs, what complements those two guys best, and then try to build the roster out from there. I think right now it's just, you know, let's just assemble a bunch of guys that we know are good individually in their own right, but that's not really team building. That's just grabbing a bunch of pieces of the puzzle and hope they fit together.
Well,
so they need a little bit more time to make that work. You know, some teams do it and it works right away. Congratulations, you got lucky, but that's not the norm.
Well, so I'll say this. We may be watching something that was grand opening and grand closing.
You think he said the final chapter?
Would you fault him? I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't blame
him. You're saying it right now.
I'm just saying that at the end of the day, if Giannis hangs around, what adjustments can be made? You know, what things can be done to improve? You got to realize the last three seasons, we making first round exits. I don't know. I mean, it seems like we're trying to put a team on the floor to compete. But then every year around this time, we see this slide at, you know, and, you know, people feel some type of way about it.
Well, I mean, but you've also seen injury every year.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Giannis himself has been injured. Middleton's been injured. You see guys getting
injured. And you see what happened to Middleton.
Right. Key guys getting injured. Mm-hmm. You're not going to compete at the highest level in the NBA if you're not at full strength. And that's just what it is. Right now you see – it's going to take some monumental effort. You saw Golden State win without Jimmy Butler. But, I mean, your super, superstars got to really do something extraordinary in those cases. And
what about the
– just didn't get it.
Before we get out of here, what about the Lakers? They blow a fourth quarter lead, fall to the Wolves, game four. They down 3-1.
Yeah.
Is this the last we see of your boy LeBron? Because, you know, you played over there at the Lakers. Do you got any inside information?
I have no inside information. I have no idea what LeBron's got. I mean, but LeBron looks good.
Oh, he looks
LeBron
good.
LeBron ain't the issue. He looks great. So the problem is the Lakers they're just not big enough to compete right now. And, you know, the Wolves are a pretty big team, you know, especially with Gobert in there at the center. The Lakers just don't have the size to compete. They got a lot of nice pieces over there, similar to the Bucks. They got some pieces. They just don't have a complete puzzle, and they were relying on LeBron's greatness at his age, Luka's greatness. But, again, just hasn't been enough because, like, you know, you've seen some of those other guys who've been good during the regular season. This is the playoffs. It's slightly different. Those fringe guys aren't going to be the guys carrying you in the playoffs. It's going to be your main guys, and you got to play defense in the playoffs. That's the other thing. So the regular season, whatever, you can get by not playing defense, not in the playoffs. Playoffs, you got to defend, and Lakers aren't good enough on the defensive end. Similar to what you're seeing from the Bucks, just not – you see Indiana's getting any shot they want to. It's kind of like I'm looking around like, man, why are they got so many open shots? But – they don't have anybody to keep guys like T.J. McConnell and Nembhard out of the paint. Those guys are constantly driving in the paint and kicking out for threes. And Indiana's getting wide open looks, Tori.
Right.
You can't live like that.
No, you can't. Well, look, T. Smith, I'm going to need you to get your insider information together, you know what I mean? Because this first round thing is, you know, with the Bucks is I think a lot of people are starting to raise an eyebrow. But like I said, we want to make sure that, you know, Dame and everybody's well cared for when they get injured. But sometimes, you know, when you see things like this and it's a repeated idea, what do you do after that?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's just bad luck with all the injuries.
Right.
That's one thing. That's one thing no one can control. You just hope it doesn't bite you once, much less like it has the Bucks the last 3 years.
Right.
They've been bitten by the injury bug in the playoffs. That's just bad luck there. I mean, I don't know what you do about that because it affects your ability to figure out how you're going to move forward. Like, again, we don't know how this Dame Giannis combo can look at full strength for a full season in the playoffs.
Mm.
You haven't seen it.
Right.
So it puts you in a tough situation going forward.
Well, look, I appreciate you for coming on for that Pop Culture Report, T. Smith.
Yes, sir. We'll see you Wednesday,
brother. See you Wednesday. All right, Truth Nation, when we come back, we'll have more conversations. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.